Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Can I ask a Malik question real quick about his like offseason and all that? I think I asked Kenny about it the other day.
Is
like,
it about the club?
No, not about the club.
It's about the restaurant.
No.
All right, you're really messing up the vibe here, but go ahead.
Well, like is this more so like about him staying here? Like if the Kings can only offer him 17 and a half, I feel like we've been like, oh, Orlando can offer him like 23. Why would a team do that if the Kings can only offer him a certain amount?
Yeah, I think that's the
and I feel like at that point, like maybe you're Orlando, you offer like 19, 20 or whatever, and like that makes it a lot easier, I feel like, for Malik maybe to come back.
The only way it would go that route is if San Antonio and Orlando.
Yeah.
Orlando's like, well, all right, we'll offer you 19 because why will we pay you more? And San Antonio's like, oh, we'll give you 21.
That's what I'm saying, though, for like just a couple million off, I feel like that's better for the Kings, I feel like.
Yeah,
like obviously he'll do. I'm taking whatever deal he wants, but I don't think teams are gonna like give him that money. Like we kind of that number we've thrown out.
Yeah, I don't think it's. I honestly want him to stay first and foremost, mm-hmm. but second of all, like I hope he gets every dollar he can. Yeah. So if it got to 23, 24, 25,
salute.
I'm all for that for Malik.
Ain't gonna take the place of Malik's, but it's fine.
Oh, no, he can still have Malik's.
He's gonna have to pay for it himself in a different city.
I don't think he gets above 20. I really don't. And I feel like 20 is the max. I think it's going to be closer to that 17, 18, 19.
I think there's a...
From like Orlando's and San Antonio, stuff like that.
Just comes down to it. Like, does the league see him as a six man or a starter in the league?
But you also, you have to, if you're a franchise, San Antonio, Orlando, or whatever, there's almost like a... What would actually pull him away from Sacramento? He's been really successful in Sacramento, the most successful he's ever been. He should win Sixth Man of the Year just because you get hurt at the end of the season.
They're really pushing that Nas.
James brought up a good point, too. Hard. Towns is out. Nas has been starting, not even coming off the bench.
And now, all of a sudden, y'all want to talk about him.
Yeah.
Now that he's starting.
Yeah. And Nas can ball,
what's
too.
It? Nas is fantastic. We wanted Nas Reed here.
Mm-hmm.
But like, what can we do to make sure he leaves Sacramento? Like, we have to make him say no to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. More specifically, we have to make him say yes to us.
Mm-hmm.
I just went through this putting. So there's a certain level of like, oh, you know, what's the right, like, what's the line if you're Orlando or San Antonio? Y'all know going through this process of buying a house.
Mm-hmm.
When my man Caro saw it. He was like, listen, like I don't think asking price is going to do it. Mm-hmm. If this is the one, you've got to be a little bit aggressive with this. Mm-hmm. We got aggressive, and they accepted that night. Hmm. And all I thought was, God damn it, we were too aggressive. Like, what? They accepted tonight, we do. It was too much. Like there's a line of, like, mm-hmm. where's the right number?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just your number for that year.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number that goes up and the number for next year and the number for next year. And they got to ask, what do we want from him? What can we afford? What gives us flexibility? What allows us? But what's going to make him say no to Sacramento? Mm. And that's why maybe I'm naive. I probably am. I don't know if 20 makes him say no.
I don't feel like it
does. I don't know. 20 might be the 20 might be the number where he's like, if the conversation doesn't start at like this, I don't want this to sound stupid. In my head, this sounds ridiculous. But like you said, over unders, right? Mm-hmm. Malik's team is thinking, okay, to really convince us that we should consider leaving Sacramento, we're talking 20.5, 21.
Yeah, we're starting that's, at 20. We're
that's starting the, 20. Like that's yeah. the start of the conversation. Yeah. If the offer's 20, that's Sacramento. Mm-hmm. If it's over 20, even if it's 20.5, mm-hmm. 21, that's where I'm starting to think about the different things I have to think about.
Right.
But the things I always get hung up on, and I believe this is 1,000% true with Malik Monk, not just this contract, but which of these teams, be it San Antonio, Orlando, some other team we're not talking about, or Sacramento, do I have the best opportunity to earn another $100 million contract after this, or $75 million, or whatever? What maximizes my earning potential, not just right now, but for the rest of my career?
Yeah.
And I know I'm too close to the situation. I know he's my favorite player on the team. I feel like it's Sacramento.
I agree with you, and I think it's real. Like, you can feel that way. I can feel that way. Doesn't make it not real. Like, I think this is the best place for him to prosper throughout the years and get another contract that, you know, maybe gets into the 100 millions or something like that. I think this is where he has that role. And a lot of people look at this time right here of him, you know, hurting his knee is a negative. So, I mean, it's a negative for his health and for the team and stuff like that. But as far as, like, he may look at it right now and say, man, I could have torn something. I got to take every dollar I can right now. And I understand that. But the way this team has struggled, what could also be looked at as a positive. Like, they really need me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to come back here and I'm going to be one of them dudes because they really need me.
That's popping up in the chat a lot. And I just pulled Aldrin J's. I know a couple of people have brought it up. Aldrin J says, you don't think missing the playoffs matter at least a little bit, D'Lo? I don't think it matters in a negative sense. I don't think the Kings, if the Kings have not missed the playoffs yet, if the Kings miss the playoffs without Malik, I don't think Malik goes, this team is ass. He goes, yo, I'm that important to this team that they fell apart a little bit without me. Orlando could be the 3 seed.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I think about all of the things that come into play. I don't know Malik's thinking or his team's thinking. Being around free agency, at least on the W side, there's, you know, what's the team look like? All right, cool. What did the coach look like? We talk about Jamal Mosley all of the time. We talk about the unique relationship that Mike and Malik have. I don't know, and I could be completely wrong, I don't think Malik and Jamal could have that type of relationship. Those two look like they go center court parking lot. Yo, there was a fight at center court last night. Really? Yeah, it was Malik and Jamal Mosley. I could see that. Yeah. There's a lot, obviously, as it should be for Malik. Money's at the forefront of everything he does this offseason. But I hope Malik and the people he's working with go, okay, let's look at the team. Let's look at their chances with you, their chances without you. Let's look at the coach. You know, you factor in the cities and different things like that. I don't think it matters quite as much as people think that it does. But there's a lot to consider.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm biased, though.
Did you see the Hoopsype article with talking about Malik?
Talking about DeMont's, talking to DeMont.
Was that as definitive? Not that he wants him there, but as definitive as DeMont saying, yeah, I'm going to go talk to Monty and Vladi, or excuse me, Vivek, and make sure he gets whatever he wants. Like, did that, like, raise your antennas at all, or?
No, no, it didn't, because I think it's already understood. So I think, if nothing else, it's a great, like, line of public support from one of the guys who's considered the two stars on the team. Yeah, Malik needs to be here. I'm gonna go talk to Mike and Vivek and Monty and everybody. I got Wes on the phone. I'm telling everybody. That's a great line. They know. They don't need to be told by Domas. No matter what I'm sure every exit meeting starts with, as it pertains to De'Aaron, Domas, Mike, the guys who are long-term in this organization, we're going to do everything we can. Malik is our number. I can't envision a scenario on earth where the number one priority for the Sacramento Kings front office isn't making sure that Malik Monk is here for the long term.
Again,
it's great, but in the end, I think everyone knows that already.
Oh, for sure. Our guy Tony Harvey in the chat, shout out Tone. He says, I'm sure he wants to stay in SAC, but business is business. He's way behind his rookie contract by at least 3 or 4 years. I hope he doesn't leave. I hear that, but I also think, and this is where we started, with Jesse and what you were saying as well, anything is possible, and I hope he gets every dollar he can get. I don't see $25 million for the, like, that's, I think Jalen Brunson, maybe you could make that argument, but also Jalen Brunson started when he was with Dallas, but there's been no precedent, Jesse looked it up, of somebody in Malik's role going from whatever they're making to $25 million.
Yeah,
it's usually 18, 19, 20.
The caveat to that is, does anyone think Malik is in the wrong role?
And that could be the case.
That's the difference, right? It's like you're right. If you're signing Malik to be in that role, sure, that's the conversation. But if you're also like, Malik, and this is going to be the pitch, Malik, you're in the wrong role. You don't need to be coming off the bench. You did a great job with it. Salute. Congratulations on Sixth Man of the Year. I voted for you. Or our beat writers voted for you, however it works. You're in the wrong role, though. I'm going to bring you in here. You're going to start for us.
What if he's like,
you were 38
I already minute talked to Mike, where I'm supposed to be starting in SAC.
Oh, that's great, Malik. Good for you. Malik Mike can't offer you what we could offer you, though.
There you go.
That's where the role doesn't matter. It's like, man, Mike Sharp. Yeah. Mike knows what he's doing. Can he offer you, what was it, 17 and a half? That's cute. That's good. What are you going to do with it? Because we've got 25 for you. 24, 23, 22. We've got 22 and a half for you.
The team that we're really talking about is Orlando a lot. San Antonio's there too.
Who allegedly loves Klay Thompson.
They love D'Angelo Russell.
Well.
Like that's my whole thing. I was just about to say, it's like, I know beat writers talk to Katie about it and others, and fans under Twitter videos comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the insiders have always linked the Magic to other players before Malik. So I don't know if maybe they're throwing people off the scent or what. But between D'Angelo and Klay Thompson, we've seen them link to two other guards before they even get to Malik. Doesn't mean Malik's not on their radar, but it feels like they're ready to throw the bag at others before Malik.
Okay. Maybe.
Just stay, Malik.
Nah. Yeah, please. Malik's.
Yo, Malik.
Corner of 7th and J Street, downtown Sacramento. Malik. Malik. I will not get back into the club life for anyone except for you.
Yo,
we will promote Malik's like it's 2005 all over again.
Malik's would be popping. Come on, man. Hey, I like the idea of Malik's. I like the idea of Malik. What would it be during the day? Anything? Just a restaurant?
Malik's, yeah, the restaurant, okay. I guess. Tenille 21 was a restaurant,
wasn't
it?
That's what I thought, but I don't know anybody that went in there.
I've been there.
Restaurant.
I wouldn't eat there.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who was there for the restaurant. It was always like lounge.
This would be hard for a lot of you to believe. I didn't go outside before nighttime back then. I have no clue. I know y'all don't believe me. It's probably the way I am now. Probably the reason that I am. My days used to end at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Ooh.
That's a shoot. Thursday night, 815 L Street. Friday night, sidelines. Saturday night, Club Ricky's. Sunday night, occasionally, a little Jamaican jerk chicken spot on Auburn. Or what in Avalon? What was the other name? Crap, what was that name of the club I used to do in Citrus Heights? Club, I can't remember what it was, but that'd be occasionally on Sundays. Your boy used to be outside.
Yeah, that would make me sick of being outside too. If I had to do that all the time, but you're also younger.
Younger.
I was, if I was younger, I'd probably been alive.
I ain't front nobody. Pay was good too.
I ain't mad at
I did not show up at those clubs for free. That pay was good for them joints.
Hey, shout out Dr. David. I like that. Tunnel O.
Nah, let's get rid of Tunnel. That's got a stench on it. Yeah, that's got a stench on it. I like Malik's.
Malik's is my favorite.
Club Zero. I like Malik's.
The funny thing about
Aqua. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
I didn't know nothing about Aqua.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's what it was. It was Aqua. I know
nothing about that.
Yeah. I was there.
The funny thing about it is.
You was out skating. I'm at Aqua. Oh, and you're telling me I ain't outside.
Tell you, Cal Skate was hotter.
Probably.
Cal Skate was popping.
Probably was.
Everybody was at Cal. You had to go to Cal Skate one time.
I probably did.
Yeah, man, you had to be.
I mean, I probably went for fun.
The all night skate was crazy too.
Look, I ain't gonna lie, I was a hoe. If you paid me to go there, I went.
That's crazy.
Yo, it's a shoot.
That's the today's title, bro.
Yo, hey, you turned. Hey, can you go out on a Tuesday night? Sure, $500 a night. Got it. I'm there. I said yes to everything. That's why I'm in bed at 9 o'clock now. Y'all don't say none to me.
That's why he gets jackets the way he's got. I mean, all that.
Don't do that.
All that money from back then, he's still spending it.
Don't do that. We'll come back. We'll talk to Herbert. Hang tight. 916-909-1320. Will Z's going to join us. Matt George, the final hour of the show. Much more ahead. Stephen McCasey, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
D-Lo and KC, ESPN 1320 on this beautiful Thursday afternoon, Sacramento, California. Hey, the A's just won. 1-0. One hitter from, I think the name J.P. Spears. Good outing tonight. So, A's got the dub. Kings need a dub tonight in a bad, bad way. I got good vibes about this game. I think they're going to be ready to go. I think they're going to play at a high level tonight. I'm not going to guarantee a win or anything else like
Coward.
That. I'm just saying I think they're going to show up, though, for sure. I think they're going to show up. I think it's going to be an electric environment at the Golden 1 Center tonight.
Yeah,
and if they can get this win tonight,
Tomorrow's gonna be bananas.
Come on, man.
Tomorrow's gonna be bananas. Come on.
Yeah, it's gonna be lit, man. It's gonna be lit. And they very much need the win to keep their playoff hopes alive. A loss tonight eliminates them from top six possibilities.
It's over. It's over. Let's get Herbert in here. 916-909-1320. What's happening, Herbert?
Oh, what's up, KC? Man, hey, it's a beautiful day. What up, dog?
Damn,
what you
went
say?
Out.
What you say, Herbert?
Hey, cool. I'll just eat my orange and shut the hell up.
I said it's a beautiful day, y'all.
Yes, indeed. Beautiful day. It is a beautiful day for a Kings win, man. Come on, man. You in the building tonight?
Man, I'm gonna watch him in the garage.
Okay. What's going on, man?
I had a question for you guys because when I called in yesterday, D-Lo hit me with the big M4 word. He said I was on some hyperbole. I don't even know what that means. But let me ask you guys, how do you feel when the Kings are in a close game and it's at the end? How do you guys feel, honestly?
Oh, it's always a little nerve-wracking because you just never know. It's not anything about the players or the team or anything else like that. It's just a close game, and like you want them to win.
You know who it is for me. Like, and I know what Herbert's talking about. Like, it's the opponent. Hi, Herbert. Sorry to interject on question to KC, but it depends on who they're playing. Like, if Steph is out there, I don't feel good about that. If LeBron is out there, don't feel great about that. I do. Partly because if nothing else, I think they'll give him the call.
Yeah. Kind of feel that way about SGA. Well, with calls and all that other stuff.
That's fair.
Luka, Kyrie, they're terrifying.
Yeah. Crazy part is I'm more scared of Kyrie than I am of Luka. Luka could do it. Kyrie is absurd.
Luka is absolutely.
So is Luka.
Like, we talked about it earlier at length. MVP candidate should be in the conversation. Not disrespecting him at all. Kyrie is what makes that thing go.
I agree.
I feel like Kyrie, like, Luka is not the guy who can connect at all. So you needed a guy like Kyrie to get the others involved and stuff like that. Luka, like, we kind of talked about it. Like, Luka, like, he can't be that
That's
guy.
That's a shortcoming.
But maybe the Mavs needed that guy, and they got that guy with Kyrie.
That's a great call. Great call.
For sure.
So, Herbert, to answer your question, nervous. That's how I feel late in games.
I'm nervous when they're up 12 late in the game. At this point, I'm just like, man, get the season over with.
Yeah, man.
Or get the game over with, excuse me.
Yeah. How are you feeling about tonight?
I feel great about tonight. There's not a game I'm going to go into where I feel bad about the Kings' chances. And that's the part of it is because just kind of the sporadic nature of the team. You know what I mean? And, like, I'm not going to feel bad about Sacramento until they give me a reason to. We talked about this when I did the run-in on your show a week or so ago. I did not feel bad going into the Boston game. I was like, I get it. I understand why people look at the schedule and, you know, if they're going to get a win, it's got to be here. And Boston's the best team in basketball. They've lost, like, 17 times or whatever it is on the year. Like, I get why we do that. I get why everyone does that. But I'll wait until the Kings stink. You know what I mean? I'll wait till they play bad before I feel bad. Like, I'm nervous going into tonight's game. But Mark Jones said it earlier. The law of – are they going to lose all five? I'm not going in there like, oh, they're 0-4. They got to be 0-5. At some point, they're going to beat New Orleans. It might not be tonight.
Right.
But, like, at some point, like, I'm not holding on to those four losses. Like, oh, they can't possibly beat them. Like, okay, I need them to get hot one night and win because that's unfortunately what we're kind of talking about. That's what we've spent the last 2 days talking about is how the Sacramento Kings win games moving forward. And it might be getting hot from three.
Yeah.
It could be getting hot. It could just be getting hot from the field.
Yeah.
Last game, it had to be the three because that's prominently what they shot.
Mm-hmm.
But they find ways to get mid-range shots against the Pelicans. Hey, just make your shots. Your defense is better, but you still have to connect offensively.
Yeah.
Hell, maybe we're not even at this point. It feels like, can we get to 112? With a play as well? Can we get a win, man? Well. Can we get those numbers?
Because
now we're like stuck at, stuck at like 105 and 100, and it's like 112 might do it.
I feel like they got to play a full 48 tonight. I know that's just simple, but like kind of like the last game. You come out the third quarter and the Thunder just erase that in 6 minutes. Like teams will make runs, but like it can't be that bad. Whereas just all of it is just wasted within a 5 minute span. Like you just, like I said, they'll make the runs, but you just have to be on it for full 48 minutes.
Yeah, because there is an aspect of like you are good enough to get up 15 to 20. You know what I mean? Like, I know somebody may have the stats or whatever, but how many times has that happened for Washington and Detroit? Like, they're not typically good enough to play a good team and be up 15-20. Like, there are things that you can do out there on the court that you can build that type of lead. Sustaining it is the issue.
Drew Down and Uncle Loon will know this a little, probably. The Warriors have had a ton of double-digit leads.
Yeah, I think it's like seven times above 15 and lost the game or something.
Okay.
Like that.
I was going to say it might not quite be 20, but they've been substantial double digit that they've lost. Mm-hmm. It's just their weird flows of games,
right?
I guess.
Right. And like, it's funny you bring that up, because I think the number was, I think it was even more than double digit. I want to say it was like 15, up 15 plus in a game.
Yeah.
Six. I know one time it was six for sure. That led the league or was like a record. It might have happened again since then. But like, man, nobody else in the league has this lack of being able to hold leads. Like, we're talking about five less points. Like, it's not like, you know, it's this big difference between 15 and 20. And yes, other teams have that issue as well because of the NBA, really. Like, the way the game is played nowadays, the emphasis on the three-point shot, 15 and 20-point leads, especially if you have them in the first half, aren't insurmountable at all.
Speaking of the inability to hold a lead.
Warming up.
Drew Holiday signed a contract extension yesterday.
Wait. Was that a shot at the Celtics about not holding leads, or a shot at me? Like, what's going on?
No, that was a shot at you.
Oh, okay.
that was absolutely not a shot at the Celtics. That was a shot at you.
Celtics, they didn't play last night.
Did you just put your glasses on?
Yeah, I got to be ready for the
good.
Win.
No,
got to be
fine.
Ready for the win, for the photo ops. You already know what it is.
So Drew Holiday, 15 seasons into his career, signed a four-year extension with the Boston Celtics yesterday. No surprise, that 4 years will peak in the final year, 27-28, at $37.6 million. Interestingly enough, to date, his highest grossing year will be this year at $34.9 million. So you got two numbers there, because we've got 15 years, but we're extending out four more for Drew Holiday.
Wait, he's played 15 seasons already?
That's crazy.
Yeah, that I absolutely thought that was a typo. This is season number 15 right here. This is it.
That's
this
crazy.
Is 15. Drew Holiday, the former number 17 overall pick. Member of the Boston Celtics. Highest grossing year so far, 34.9. His highest grossing year ever will be the 27-28 season at 37.3. Jesse, can a member of the Boston Celtics get you back in the win column? Career earnings at the end of this contract for your boy.
I'm going to go $310
million. $310 million for Drew Holiday. Kenny Caraway, you are on a run right now.
I'm killing it.
That we haven't seen in a long time. Or from you ever.
It's facts. There was three seasons before this season when we were playing.
The former number 17 overall pick in the 2009 NBA draft. He's earned $34.9 million this year. The final year of his extension will be $37.3 million. Career earnings at the end of his Celtics extension for Drew Holiday.
Well, I mean, 310 by Jesse is a good guess, but it's just not good enough. I'm going 320 for Drew Holiday. 320.
I cannot believe you went so low.
Me?
It's $389 million.
Yeah!
I shortchanged him on his deals, his early deals.
I want you to know you're making this difficult for both of us.
Why?
Like, look, because look at this.
It's fine. He's on his run. We'll be fine.
Jesse, it's you're 10 and 12 right now.
Come on, wait, baby. I'm under?
Come on, baby.
No, he's 10 and 12 now.
Let's go.
You had a 9-game cushion. Now you got a 2.
We're good. We're good. We're on a tough stretch right now.
I'm like that.
The vibes will be better. We'll be back tomorrow.
I'm like that.
You looked so confident, too.
I did feel better today. I did feel bad. I thought it was a good guess.
It wasn't a bad guess. I just thought at like 20 seasons, as soon as you said 310, I was like, he's not going lower than 310.
Well, I figured because I thought his early seasons, I didn't think Drew Holiday was like making the bag or whatever.
Drew Holiday. The way I looked at it, 135 with this one extension. The other one had to be 120-something. Now we're at 250-something. And he had a contract before that was probably 80 or something like that. That's where I said, we're in the 300s. 325 is what I was thinking.
You're not terribly far off that line.
What is that, my fifth loss up 20?
Man. 20% off at D-Lo and Casey.
It does. Well, it's actually 30% off, and it is available right now.
Bro, I'm telling you, the moment I started this slide, the King started theirs. Ken, you should have gave me that one. You guys see that? You see that chatty house? He's not Kings. I'm Kings.
I'm not Kings.
I gave...
That's honestly what it comes down to, CJ. Mike Brown. Yeah, they're kicking our ass right now.
They just flat out kicked our butt.
We got our ass kicked. What do you want from me?
He says that one more time. You know, I just want to tip my hat over.
Deuce
there
has clowned you like 3 days in a row.
He has, like, but you know what? That's what comes with being the top dog. When you take your losses, they try to take their shots at you. We'll be better.
You know what's tough too is Deuce hasn't said anything in the chat for like 3 months. And now Jesse's going through this brutal losing streak.
This is how you're praying on my downfall, I guess. I always tapped in when we play Pocket Watchers.
Wait, check it out, yo. Check it out. Let me know. Jesse's out there saying, you know, I got to give KC a lot of credit. He just flat out kicked my butt out there. You know, and that's just got to give us a little.
Slow down a little bit. I didn't know what you were doing at first, and then I picked up on it.
Real quick.
You got to slow down just a little bit.
I want to say that. We haven't quit. We're trying. We have not quit. Okay? We will not quit. We will not quit. We are trying.
They called you Jesse Gentry. Man.
I just wanted to KC.
Well, now they're calling you the Clippers.
Well, I want to tip my hat first of all, because he just flat out kicked our butts.
Is it Jesse Harden?
What did Harden do?
You put up these big numbers to start, but when it's really time...
Hey, you need to relax.
Oh, man, we cooking, baby. We cooking. We cooking. I told you. They was... Yo, like Pac said in Above the Rim, they was laughing at me.
Hey, James.
They was laughing at me.
Hey, James. Yeah, we just got to be better. We got to watch the tape next time.
All right. Man, now they're calling you Jesse Rivers? Jeez. This is tough.
Jesse's just asking for somebody to make $2 less.
Can we do like Rick Barry or someone easy tomorrow or something?
Do you think you could Rick Barry would be easy?
Bro, I don't know what I'm doing at this point. I'm just throwing numbers out. I thought it was a good guess. I got my ass kicked again.
It wasn't. I was just really, you didn't leave a lot of room for.
Getting locked up by Wiggins in the finals. They call me Stressy Tapia in the chat.
Crazy. These analogies are crazy, bro.
I can't find Rick Barry career earnings.
Jesse Marino got all the wins in the world, but no ring.
And here comes Kenny Montana, just swooping him up.
No, I got the stats.
It's tough.
Oh, man. Hey, man. What can I say right now? You know, I've got it down to a science. I know how this thing is going to work. And
WCW taking shots now. Call me Oscar De La Hoya. I take offense to that one. Said I got beat down like I was Mayweather against or I was De La Hoya against Mayweather.
Yeah, that came through the text. Man, we got a text that said, I don't even know why I listen. Jesse getting beat by Kenny is like watching De La Hoya getting worked by Mayweather all over again.
I don't hate that one because I hate De La Hoya too. So.
Man.
Oscar De La Hoya, that's what we call him.
This has turned into the Brock Lesnar Cena match. Come on,
tomorrow we're gonna play the footage. Gonna play the footage of Casey cheating when he played Kyrie when we played Kyrie that one time 8 months ago. We're gonna play the footage of that and we'll get everyone's back on my side.
AEW Tapia, Jesse Khan in there. I'm just
out there watching like you guys.
Man. Hey man,
this is tough. This is tough to see.
Look, you guys are being too hard on Jesse. As a matter of fact, you're not giving me enough credit because I'm cooking. All right? This isn't about what Jesse's not doing. This is about what I'm doing.
I did have a Taylor Rooks interview a couple weeks ago, and I did tell her we were fine in the PWL. I told her I was fine in the PWL, and since then, it's just been chaos.
We good in the West.
He told Kim he was good in the PWL, and it's all gone to hell.
I'm good in the PWL. Worried about the LA Caraways. No chance. We're good out here in the PWL. Yeah, I haven't won since.
Yo, that's an all-timer. We good in the West. That's an all-timer.
Yeah, that's an all-timer. Man.
Did they not make the playoffs? Oh, no, they did. They just lost in the first round. Yeah. That's right.
This is tough, man.
You know what? But I got the Chatty House. The Chatty House wants to see me do better, and I appreciate that. I got the Chatty House on my side. I know that. I got the Chatty House with me, the Jesse Crybabies. We're going to finish our story.
Hey, man. Hey, it don't matter. I'm cooking right now. Once again, it's saying about what Jesse's not doing. This is about what I'm doing. I can't be stopped. Look at all
Kenny
the other Caraway games.
Kenny Caraway is Triple H and Jesse's Tony Khan.
Well, damn. I wouldn't even wish that on
him. Can I be Eric Bischoff?
On old JT.
That's not much better. I know Tony Khan's pretty big. It's not much better.
Nah, Bischoff is better. He knows what to do and what not to do.
Tony's getting his feelings hurt on Twitter, bro.
He's looking a little clueless.
No, he looks ridiculous on Twitter. That's a shoot. The image for Jesse. The image for Jesse in the loft.
Do we got a graphic already?
We got a graphic. I can't believe we'll put this together so quick.
I ain't gonna lie. I turned off my Twitter. Oh, no.
Let's go.
The change in Jesse's face from the wins to the losses is comedy.
Come on, man.
Comedy.
Well, I was about to yell at somebody. Literally nobody's here. The lights are off down the hallway. Nobody's here. I mean, this is the hottest game in Sacramento
Kimberly's
right now.
Kimberly's right there.
Hey, one of our salespeople has to work with a bank, right?
We've tried this.
There's 90 banks in this area. And
By the way, I told Justine we got a snitch in our building.
What'd she say?
She was like, who? I was like, I don't know. And then she got mad. She was like, who was it? And we started scanning the room. Like, I'm going to figure out who this was.
Telling what? Like, telling to who?
Somebody over on the WCW side was aware of a sales meeting we had the other day.
Hit me up and was like, yeah, I heard what was going down. I said,
yeah.
I said, what?
We'll find that out.
Nah, there's a, so which means we'll find someone that in that room snitched.
Yeah, yeah. We can honestly go ask him right now.
Not only snitch, but snitch with details.
Yeah, we can go.
And then actually got wrong details, too. Because the person was like, yeah, I heard this. I was like, oh, it didn't go down like that.
I was like, who do you think it was? And we were like talking about it. And then her demeanor changed. She's like, I'm going to figure out who it was. Well, God rest that person's soul.
Oh, yeah.
Because if there's one.
No snitching.
Yeah.
No, uh-uh.
Yeah, we got a snitch in this building.
Especially with how hard we're trying to get stuff done.
Yeah. Let it be known. Man. Stacy, if you're listening, we got a snitch in this building.
Well, look, don't let it be like Rock and Raising Canaan. Remember, she thought, oh, boy, was
well,
a snitch.
Well, she got
and
played.
He wasn't the snitch.
That damn near became the whole plot of the whole next season.
Yeah, it really was, because Oh boy was going through it. And
yeah.
They had to cover that up with another tough one. Yeah. What was his name? Ziggy? No, it wasn't Ziggy. What was?
No, it was who? Oh,
the guy they had to off.
I was thinking about the lady.
I know, but his her son. What was his name again?
Oh,
Not Ziggy.
I don't remember what it was. Yeah. I don't remember. Was it Ziggy? I don't
it
remember.
It definitely wasn't Ziggy. It was,
but he was a central character of like the whole show after he died.
Yeah.
Or
he was killed. Showing up and people's dreams and stuff.
Well, that's what happens on that show. On what's that?
So my mind is just stuck on this now. Whoever snitched.
Oh yeah. I know. I know. I'm gonna find out who it was.
Man, when we did it.
It wasn't a big room.
When we did it, it really came down to one person.
Yeah, it did.
But that does seem like an odd conversation. Like, I don't know how does that communicate?
So, and I even told Justine, I was like, I think it was .. Uh-huh. And she was like, why would they talk?
Yeah.
But I couldn't come up with another answer.
No.
We're going to find out, though.
PWO, I'm struggling with PWO. We got our first betting scandal to take the heat off me.
Well.
Who's Jonte Porter on the sales team, huh?
Oh, snap.
So, by the way, you saw Adam yesterday.
Adam is ready to he's ready to drop the hammer.
You normally don't hear that type of stuff on a, quote, open investigation. Mm-hmm. Clearly, whatever the NBA has seen, Adam Silver was comfortable enough with yesterday to talk about it. And, ooh, that's bad.
And
that is tough.
And to be honest, that's what you got
to
do.
And you have to ban him for life. It has to be clear. You cannot take part in this.
Yeah.
And the tough part is, with all due respect, to Jonte Porter is an NBA player. But he's also, a lower tier NBA player.
Right.
If he takes this stand of banning him for life, Adam has to make it clear when that ban is initiated, this is the punishment for discovering what we discovered. Mm. You have to make it clear what you discovered as well. Mm-hmm. This is the punishment. It doesn't matter if you're a 2 minute per game guy or you're an all NBA player. This banishment from the league for life is your punishment.
Mm. Yeah, you can't play with that.
Mm-mm.
You can't play. And especially like the NBA and the perception that it already has, of refs with Adonahue and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't play with none of that. And it's, I feel kind of bad talking about that for Jonte Porter because, that's his career, that's his livelihood. But you may, if they found what we think they found, you played that risk.
Yeah.
When you did all that.
Let's get, because Will Z is going to join us in a couple of minutes. So let's get Kamara in here real quick. 916-909-1320. What's up, Kamara?
Jess is the Kings as the calendar turned. He's going through that type of rough period. But it's okay.
No good.
Why can't I be the Kings? Why can't, we turned up, we got better. Why can't I be the Kings?
Bro, this team might not even make the playoffs.
You want to be the Kings as it turns the calendar?
He's talking about the Kings last year when they turned up on their way to the playoffs.
Oh, no. We're talking about this
Kenny's
year.
A side story. Yeah, Kenny's a side story in Jesse's downfall.
Jesse's looking at the tape. He's got to figure it out.
Luke Stay, catch a strike.
Well, Luke and Buddy.
Listen, it's all right. It's all good. We still ride with Jess. I need y'all to give me some motivation or some feeling good about the team. I don't feel good, guys.
They're going to show up tonight, Kamara. They're going to show up tonight. They're going to compete.
Why, Kenny? Tell me,
why.
Because
they compete.
That's what they do. Yeah, like they're a tougher team than people give them credit for. And when their backs have been up against the wall numerous times this year, they've shown up.
They fold.
Nah. What happened
after the Pistons game? When they played Denver, what'd they do?
Okay, well, that's a matchup thing. I'm talking about going against New Orleans. Well, I guess
What happened? What was the loss before Milwaukee? Houston on that Sunday. And they had Houston and the Lakers coming into town, and people were scared to death. And what did they do? Now, granted, they have Malik Monk. I understand that. But
that's the difference.
This team, as far as like competing, Every time people are ready to like completely, this is why we've had this season. Nobody can completely write them off because every time you're ready to, they show up.
Here's the thing, Kamar. They might not win. They're going to fight tonight. Mm-hmm. They're not going to come out at home in one of the final three games of the bowl season with final three games of the season with everything that's on the line. They're not going to face plant mm-hmm. to start the game. They're going to come out and fight. Again, it doesn't mean they're going to win.
Right.
It means they're going to come out and fight.
Right.
And they're going to try to get themselves a win against the Pelicans. And that, like, they got to be in position to win this game.
Kamara, be by your phone by, you know, at around midnight your time. Be by your phone, dog.
We'll come back, man. Will Z joins us. Matt George coming up. Steelo McKC here on ESPN 1320. Back here with our man Will Z. Will, big part of the conversation today has been vibes and moods and energy. And where y'all at? Where you at? Where's your vibe? How you feeling heading into tonight's game against the New Orleans Pelicans?
I'm so nervous. Again, it's like the same as going into last game where I'm just so nervous and I don't know if they can score enough. It's just the same thing mm-hmm. that we talked about last time. Just we saw it happen and played out.
Yeah, it's because the circumstances.
Until they score more.
Yeah, the circumstances are exactly the same. Yeah. So the vibe hasn't changed much.
Yeah. And the Pelicans, like, they have the sixth best defense in the league. They win with their defense over offense. And it's just maybe that helps because the Pelicans haven't been scoring as well lately. If you look at the Pelicans, their last few games, they've scored 110, 113, 109, 108, 111, 92, 107. So it's like not. Especially with Ingram out, they haven't been a great scoring team, but their defense, they're great at defending the three, holding opponents to the league best 3-point percentage. Where did it go? 34.8%. And then they also allow the third fewest points in the paint per game, 45.8. In the last 11 games, the Kings have averaged 39.6 points in the paint. For reference, I mixed up my numbers. The Grizzlies are last in the league at 45.8 points in the paint per game.
And the stats are so bad. Kennedy is screaming.
She is not looking forward
to this game at all.
Man, she
apparently did not want to go down for a nap.
Well, they never do. Is there like some home road splits with this Kings team as of late? Because that's one of the things that I'm kind of holding on to when I talk about, you know, wanting to see this team is, mm-hmm. hey, maybe on the road it is tough for the others to show up consistently. But at home, they get energized by being at home, all the things that the others get energized about. Now, in that last game, the quote-unquote others played well. It was just Domas who didn't mm-hmm. really play right. A big-time game. But are there any home road splits maybe in the last 10, 15 games that might make people feel a little better?
Yeah, so let's look at last 15. So I wish there's so many things about NBA.com where it's like, I wish I could just like tell them what to do. For the team home road splits, in the last 15, 5-3 at home, 3-4 on the road. They're shooting 44.3% from the field at home, 43.1. Those are both bad. At home, 36.6 from three at home, 34% on the road. So about the same. Let me do a quick little side-by-side screenshot of the players and see if you can give me just a minute.
But, you know, I'd be interested to see what Keegan looks like at home and on the mm-hmm. road. And, you know, if he's somebody, hell, at this point, even Domas, you know, what he looks like home and on the road. And, you know, he seems a guy that might be energized by being at home and being in front of that Golden 1 Center crowd. Is he somebody that, you know, might benefit from being at home for these last three games?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kings are 23-15 at home. They finished the road portion of their schedule at 22-19.
Man, it sucks too because they're going to finish thinking about where we came from as a fan base and with this franchise. I mean, they're going to finish pretty well over 500, over 500 both road and home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it could be looked at by many, and yeah, understandably so, as yep, a disappointing season.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It sucks.
Okay, so at home since March 13th, last 15 games. Oh, that doesn't look right.
They're undefeated.
Why is it only showing eight?
The Kings have not lost.
No, that makes sense. Eight games. Yeah. So we've got Fox, 21.5 points. This is where it's tough. His field goal percentage has just been rough. 39.2%. Sabonis, 47.5%. Keegan, 44.2%. So let me take a screenshot of this. You're all getting a little preview of how I get
this. Is how the operation goes down in the Will Z dungeon when we get to talking about these numbers.
With his 100-foot screen that's in front of him as he scans from one side to the other.
All right. So Fox has scored more away. So Fox has been better away. Keegan has been better, 17, about the same, 44.2% at home, 43.9% away. Sabonis, same at home, 47.5%, 50.6% away. So I'm not seeing much, Kenny, that really differentiates between home and away.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately.
Will, I did look up. Will texted me this morning and asked if I could find, I think it was Zion left-hand layups.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't. I found Zion, and I was able to find, you know, plays at the rim, dunks, and I was able to find layups, but I couldn't break them out into left-handed versus right-handed. Was there something? This will come as a surprise to a lot of people. He's very good around the rim.
Yeah.
Was there something you were looking for in particular?
Yeah.
I was curious by that. I really wanted to find it, but I just couldn't. I could break it down. I could break it down by shot clock, where it is on the shot clock, but I couldn't break it down into left versus right.
Synergy's got to step up their game. No, I would have been surprised if we could find that one. For Zion, it's just, to me, what stands out with him is he has one move that he does over and over and over again, and he's so good at it. So it makes sense, like, that you're going to see it. He goes, he starts on the right side of the court, he drives to the middle, and he finishes with that little, like, underhand left-hand layup scoop. And it's just almost unstoppable, so you know it's coming. And I just was wondering, like, how many times he's done that. And if you look at his shooting splits, he shoots in the restricted area. He has 701 field goal attempts in the restricted area, 304 in the floater area, and 27 outside of the paint. So, like, he really is just the same move over and over again. And it's something where I don't know how you stop it. They always talk about building a wall. And even that, it's like, good luck. His assist numbers, he's averaging like 5.7 assists against the Kings. So even when they bring that double team, he's able to pass out of it. And it's just something where he's so strong and powerful. And that shot at the rim is such a high percentage shot where it's tough to defend.
You know, one of the things I've noticed about Zion that, you know, it's the testament to him, is you can't get him out of his game more times than not. So, mm-hmm. like, you look at those numbers that you put out about where the field goals are coming from and percentage, and like, oh, just back up off of him. No, if you back up off of him, matter. You're just going to give him a running head start for him to get to where mm-hmm. he wants to go, and that's a problem. And that's commendable, man. I love seeing that he knows where his bread is buttered, and you can't get him out of his game more times than not. And it makes him difficult to guard because mm-hmm. what do? You press up on him and, you know, maybe he can get a step on you, or you fall back. And like I said, he's got a running start to the hoop, and you got to try and stop him at that point.
Yeah, he just plays his game so well. Oh, man. And he's coming off. He looks like he's getting more active on defense too, especially with the help side blocks. He had 5 blocks against the Suns. And that plays into the number that I was saying earlier. The Pelicans are a very good paint defensive team. And I think that's what makes me so nervous, is that they're really good at defending the paint and they're really good at defending the three. Fox's mid-range field goal percentage is down. So it's like, how are you going to score and how are you going to slow them down? And then don't sleep on CJ McCollum. He's shooting a very cool 66.7% from three against the Kings on 7.5 attempts per game.
Come on,
so he's torched them.
Wait a minute. Wait, hold on, hold on. 67% from three?
Just against the Kings, but yeah. Yeah. See why I'm nervous?
That's crazy.
Well, at some point, he can't keep doing that.
Right. Yeah.
Or at least you think.
You hope.
I hope.
Man, that's a crazy number.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things where he just loves playing the Kings. I think that animosity is always going to be there a little and just gets up for Kings games. Mm.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.